Well, hello and welcome to Education Matters in the Upper Cumberland. My special guest today is Mark Burnett, the Vice President for Student Affairs and Chief Diversity Officer at Tennessee Tech University. Mark, welcome.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Thank you for being on the show, and we're delighted that you're here. Some of our listeners may not have met you before, so tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
All right. I'm a Tennessee boy, born and raised. I'm from Alcoa, Tennessee. Came to Tennessee Tech in 1977 as a student athlete, played basketball 4 years, and majored in undergraduate school. I was in English journalism, a master's degree in educational psychology, an EDS degree in administration and supervision.
Well, that's great. You've spent quite a bit of time at Tech. You basically never left once you came as a student, right?
I have not. I've been here all but 6 months. I left 6 months after undergraduate school, and I've been here ever since.
So what all have you done at Tech after you graduated?
After I graduated, again, I went home. It's really interesting. I had applied for a job as a junior at Tennessee Tech in Alcoa, working with this print company, had some communication stuff going, and they said, well, you finish your degree, you come back home with your degree, and we'll probably hire you. Well, it's kind of an odd story, but when I went back, I was a little bit overeducated when I returned for that same job. So my mother said, why don't you go back to Tennessee Tech? And at the time, my old basketball coach, Tom Deaton, who I had for a couple, my junior and senior year at Tennessee Tech, he called me and asked if I wanted to be a GA with men's basketball. And I said, sure, I'll come back. Didn't really want to be a basketball coach, but it was free ticket.
Yes.
And so I came back and worked with camps and worked with the players and everything. And then that summer, came back in December. And then that June, I actually got married and everything. Married my wife of 36 years and lived in Tech Village. Ran camps and everything till I got a job in admissions. So my first real job at Tennessee Tech was in admissions under Dr. Hall Lawson. And Jim Perry and Billy Jean Gall, those guys.
What a group.
Trained very well under them. And then after that, I went from admissions to Randy Perry, who you probably remember. He called me from the College of Engineering and said, we'd like to start a minority engineering program. And I'll never forget looking at him and saying, I'm not an engineering grad. And he said, you don't have to be. He said, we'll do the engineering.
You do the administrative stuff.
Yeah, you do Mark Burnett, and we'll get that thing going. And that's what we did.
Well, that's great.
Went from that to the Dean of Students Office. Came back from engineering, went to the Dean of Students Office, again under Hall Lawson. Did that for 4 years, became Assistant VP under him. He retired almost suddenly, nothing particularly wrong. He just retired, and there I sat at 32 years old.
With a target on your back.
With a target on my back, and everyone on the staff at least 10 years my senior.
Wow.
And it was an interesting time for me.
I'll bet it was. Well, you've been a vice president at Tech for a long time now. You worked with me for the 12 years I was president.
Yes.
So you've done this job a long time. Tell us what the vice president for student affairs at Tech does.
Well, the vice president of student affairs pretty much oversees several divisions, mostly non-academic divisions at the university. Most people don't know when you say vice president for student affairs, they say, what is that? That's the counseling center. That's the rec center. That's Accessible Education Center, which used to be Disability Services. That's the Dean of Students Office. That's also the Eagle Card Office. That's Health Services, Residential Life, Multicultural Affairs, the Roden University Center, the Service Learning Center, Student Activities and Greek Life, and the University Police.
Pretty complex set of operations there.
Well, you taught me well. You said keep all the balls in there, and you don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's always a good basic game plan. I wish I could always have done it, but you obviously your middle name is students. You do a lot with our students at Tech. What are some of the biggest challenges you see facing students today?
Probably the biggest challenge is still really just adapting to entering a collegiate environment. Many of our students are from rural communities, some of them smaller schools, and it's just that social adaptation that has to take place. I mean, obviously, we have very bright students. I like working with our students at Tennessee Tech, but sometimes just adapting that general. That's why we talk about engagement so much. We have to engage them. I think the change from 25 years ago to today is a lot of our students are much more hands-on in terms of their social activity. So they, you know, with technology, everything's right at their fingertips.
Yep.
And so we're very intrusive in what we do in terms of removing some of that and
Good.
Saying, okay, you have to interact. You have to talk a little bit more. You have to be involved with social activities. You have to do those things that employers say make you more of a prize to catch when you can come in and you can do other things other than just sit and work. They want you to do other things, make presentations, be involved, do a lot of things that take social interaction. And actually, more of it today than they used to.
That's right. And that leadership role is really important.
Yeah.
And you don't get that driving a keyboard all the time.
So now the thing is, you don't go in a classroom and somebody just stands up and talks all the time. You have these teams. And I think actually when you were with the College of Business as a dean,
right,
you know, you guys were doing those things then where you team building and projects, team projects. And that's a little tough sometimes for a student to walk into.
It is. And when a student is so used to just driving their keyboard all day long,
right,
and staying on the laptop, it's tough on a student to have to interact.
It can be very tough for a young man or a young woman who comes in and all of a sudden you expect them to be a part of this bigger team and to be able to socialize and interact with everybody, every team member, to make the presentations. It's an amazing transformation for some of them.
It is, and as you said, a lot of our students come from every county in Tennessee, and
yes,
some of those are small counties. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Mark Burnett, the Vice President for Student Affairs and Chief Diversity Officer at Tennessee Tech University. Well, Mark, this pressure on students sometimes, and I think this is about the time of year when we used to see this, and I'm sure you still do. It's tough when you're a really bright student, talented, and Tech has about the most talented student body in the state.
Yes.
And you come from a small town where you've been Mr. or Miss Everything, mm-hmm, and you're valedictorian, and all of a sudden you come here and you're fighting to stay average for a few months because that's everybody,
yes,
has that skill set. And I remember we would even see some suicide watches on people
that's right,
should have been really well adjusted, mm-hmm, but that social pressure got to them.
Right. In fact, it's very similar to being a student athlete in that regard, in that, you know, you're the star on your team, and then you arrive in a place where everyone's a star. And some people don't handle that, mentally don't handle that very well. I had,
right,
teammates who could not handle the fact that they were not the top dog. Everyone was a top dog. And so you've got to really work through that and realize, okay, I'm starting over, and I'll take my skill set that I bring with me and work with that.
Oh, that's a good point.
And then
that's
once
a really
you,
good point.
And then once you move into upper division and those areas, then there's some competition things that occur, but compete against yourself at first. Don't look around first. Just make sure you stay focused on why you're there.
Well, it's you have mentioned sports already, and certainly I've known you since you first came to,
yes,
Tennessee Tech. So
my first advisor.
I've got to mention a couple of things. First, you were team captain for the basketball team for 5 years, if I remember,
yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
Well, I was elected captain as a freshman, which is a little bit unusual, maybe,
yeah,
the most unusual thing. But in my sophomore year, I was elected captain. I played two games, and then I injured my knee, tore my ACL in my right knee. And by having played two games, they counted that. So I was captain, even though I was out after the first two games. And then I was captain the next few years. And it's kind of a mystery to me, too, how you're selected as captain. I was not the most vocal person, at least not around practice. I think leadership comes from action.
Amen.
Not from what you say.
Yeah.
I think it comes from action. And so I played hard. I worked hard on the court, and your teammates vote on it.
And you were pretty good. I know that.
Yeah. I tell kids all the time, leadership comes from, one, being able to follow first.
Amen.
And then to become a leader, you got to work. You can't talk about it.
No.
You can't talk your way through it.
No.
You have to work hard, and people will recognize if you work hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I believe you also scored the first basket in the Hooper Evelyn Center. Is that right?
I did, and that was a little bit of a mystery, too. We were passing a ball around against Vanderbilt, and it came to me for the first time. And I didn't have anybody else to pass it to, so I shot.
you shot and made it.
And made it. So actually, a little bit of correction there. I got fouled, and I made the first point in the Hooper Evelyn Tech point was a free throw.
Well, how about that? I did not remember that part of it. Well,
it was a free throw.
That's pretty cool. Right now, we're going to take a very quick break, and then we will be back with Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Mark Burnett, the Vice President for Student Affairs and Chief Diversity Officer at Tennessee Tech University. And Mark, we were talking a little bit about your role as Diversity Officer, but what are the big challenges with recruiting and then mentoring students from African American or other backgrounds to come to Tech?
Well, I think one of the challenges, again, is just representation. You know, a student coming to campus and being comfortable. And I tell students, if I can get you to visit the campus at Tennessee Tech, I don't care who you are, I can probably talk you into coming. We have that great a community and an atmosphere. But the issue is, again, everybody at some point wants to see somebody who looks like them, who's
sure.
represented by them. And so when you have a population of about 4%, currently this fall we have 333 African-American students. We have 331 Hispanic Latino students.
How about that?
And then you talk about our international student population. So we're at about 13% minority overall, and that's not too bad. But the challenge is going into a high school and telling someone who may not know what that demographic looks like. You know, we're not very diverse. You know, you just have to be very honest about it.
Sure.
But also say to them, but you can come to Tennessee Tech, be successful, which is the same thing I tell every student. You know, if you want a really good school to go to and a great atmosphere to do it in, Tennessee Tech's your place, bar none. And so the fact that you're in the minority becomes irrelevant once you're there. But again, it's a matter of there should be more people there because employers, again, when they come to us, they say, you know, your campus is not very diverse, and yet
right.
we're in a global society.
They are going to work in a very diverse workplace.
And you don't
somewhere.
Want them to come in and be shell-shocked.
That's right.
Socially or otherwise. You just don't, you know, how hard is it for someone who academically is fantastic but socially inept in ways? And so we don't want that.
Yeah, a lot of Tech students go to Boeing, to Seattle.
They're all over the world.
They go to Los Angeles. They go literally all over the world. And they are going to see a very diverse workforce
go
there. And they've got to be ready for that. So we've got to do our part.
And so our challenge is to make sure that they're exposed early on because it makes that transition for them later that much easier.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's a really, really important role. Well, related to that role a little bit, certainly related to keeping students at Tech, a lot of the activities you deal with, the fitness center, the fraternity, and the Greek system, mm-hmm. the intramurals. All of those things are important, aren't they, to helping a student stay connected to Tech?
They are. You know, that's our big pitch with engagement, again, is go out and be involved with these things. Don't, you know, one of the saddest stories I had at Tennessee Tech, I recruited a student from West Tennessee, and they came in very bright, 4.0, almost perfect ACT. They went from their room to their class and back to their
back
room.
To their
and
room.
I will never forget, they failed out after their first semester.
Yeah.
And I will never forget that as long as I live. And I thought, if we had known what we know now, all these years later, you've got to get them engaged. They have to be amongst other students. They have to greet faculty and staff. You know, we have a campus now where, you know, you can go in and actually really get to know the faculty member. That's a fantastic thing. When I came along, you were in awe of you were so in awe of the faculty member, you didn't speak unless you were spoken to.
You were a little bit scared of them.
You were a little bit scared, yeah. And you were in awe of them. The awe is still there, but you know that faculty member is going to engage you. That's a wonderful thing today to help a student.
And you don't get that at a lot of universities.
You don't get that at a lot of places. And I think that's what, being the community we are, and not just the university community, but Cookeville, you know, we're an engaging place. People are interested in you.
They
care about you. And that's a very one. It's why I've been here all this time.
And that's why our churches are important in terms of welcoming students.
Yes.
This time of year, we're in the fall semester and the first semester experience for a lot of these students. So whether it's a church or Walmart or wherever, the community makes a big difference.
It makes a wonderful difference. And, you know, growing up in Alcoa, I grew up near Knoxville and all of that. And to be quite honest with you, the University of Tennessee was too much. It was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I grew up near it. But I knew if I went on that campus as a freshman, the intimidation factor would be, there's just too much. But here was perfect. And to be quite honest, my mother, who made one visit to Tennessee Tech, said, that's where you're going.
How about that?
And I said, why would you insist that I go there? And she said, you will get your degree, so you'll study. And she said, and you'll come out a much better person than you were going in. You know, the wisdom of a mother.
Isn't it funny how their instincts can tell?
Never spend a day on a college campus.
No.
But
she could tell
pick it up.
She could tell it.
She said, you'll be fine. You'll be okay.
Well, I know you were a student athlete, and your mom knew you were going to be a student athlete on campus. And student athletes have unique challenges, too, because they're working two jobs. They've got a really big job as a student and a really big job as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty tough on them, isn't it?
It is. I, as a student athlete, you really don't have the same lifestyle as the average student. And I don't mean more outside the classroom than in the classroom. You got to go to class and then you got to go to practice. And it is a job. You have to work every day. You travel, which a lot of students don't do. I really didn't learn what a real college life was like until graduate school.
It's
kind of funny.
That? Yeah.
Because I didn't know. I ran around with my own little group of people. Now we pretty much insist athletes, you know, mingle a little more, be more involved with other students and those things. We try to engage that. But, you know, you just kind of, you had your own world and your own space, and you had to stay in that pretty much. And so, you know, the holidays, I was talking to some students today. I said, you know, for 4 years as an athlete, I was at home for Christmas 3 days each time.
Wow.
I said, because we traveled and we played. We spent a lot of time. When you're home for the holidays, we're on campus.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in another city. And I said, and we don't see those cities. You go to a hotel, and then you go to the gym, and you go eat.
It is amazing.
It's a very different world, and it is tough. You know, if you're not ready for that, you won't make it academically. Now, we're lucky at Tennessee Tech to have a very good academic support system for the athletes. It would be a model system at a lot of places. And our athletes graduated at a fairly decent
time. Oh, they are super. Yeah. I'm amazed at. I know our athletes carry a higher grade point average than our student body
general
does.
Student body.
And Tech's got a pretty talented student body.
We do. And so it's, you know, the support system's there. I think it's a model for any student support system or tutorial system. It's great because they're engaging you all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing.
And that's really important. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Mark Burnett, the Vice President for Student Affairs at Tech. And we're talking a bit about student athletes. Mark, I remember we used to travel with the football team quite a bit, and I was Gloria and I were with Coach Brown on a football trip. I think we were going to Iowa this time, but we were flying, which is a bit unusual for Tech football teams. They don't get on the plane too often unless it's a long place.
Yeah.
So Gloria was they escorted her on first, and so we were sitting there with Coach Brown in the first seats. These great big giant kids kept coming on, and Gloria was just saying, "Wow, look at those young men!" And he got it in the back, and Coach Brown leaned over and he said, "Now, Miss Bell, you watch him in the next minute when that pilot turns on the runway. This is their first flight for many of them, and those boys are going to want their mamas."
Yeah, I did that. My first flight was to the University of New Orleans to play in a tournament as a freshman.
Yeah.
And one, they finally got me on the plane, and then we were coming over the Gulf, coming into New Orleans. And I thought, I kept saying, "We're going to land in the water. We're going to land in the water."
Well, it's fun to travel with athletes, and I lettered in college too, but I didn't play near as much as you did, and it's just great that our athletes represent the student body as well as they do. Well, the state of California this week announced a new rule where student athletes can be paid for the use of their image or for certain things.
Right.
What are your feelings about paying student athletes?
I've thought about it the last couple of days, and I have mixed feelings about that. One, you know, a university or a college does pay for your education. I mean, yeah. I have mine paid for. Now, it's not guaranteed, but if you matriculate through in a good fashion, then you likely have it paid for. The problem I see is that you have the Division I schools, and then you have the rest of us.
The rest, yes.
How are you going to equalize that? Now, I think one solution may be, you know, a lot of athletes receive some other aid, Pell Grant, whatever it may be, and maybe the way to equalize that for us would be to allow them to receive that, because usually it's subsidized. It's taken out at some point. So maybe to allow them to receive that, but leveling that field, I think, is going to be tough. I agree. You know, there's still not enough athletes graduating across the country. Now, we do pretty well, but a lot of schools still do not.
Correct.
Because they spend all that time. These kids spend a lot of time on their field of endeavor and not as much in the classroom as they should. And the responsibility is theirs, for sure. You know, you accept that scholarship, and you know you got to go to school, and you should be progressing toward graduation. The NCAA has done about everything they can regarding those things, and so I applaud them. I'm just not sure, you know, when a school makes millions and millions off of a kid's back.
That's the argument, isn't it?
The argument is you're making all this money. That kid may not graduate and may not come back to school, so they may end up working in some job, and you forget they're an athlete. In fact, you practically forget about them.
And they may have a lifetime injury.
They may have a lifetime injury. I have some injury. I tore my ACL. That's something I'm starting to have to deal with now, or have been for about 10 years ago. So you get it. They have injuries. It could end their career, and then they have nothing. And nobody comes back.
And that's the argument from the other side.
And nobody comes back. But I have mixed feelings about it.
It will be interesting to see where this goes. One last thing. You've announced your retirement.
I have.
And I don't think you're going to retire from the ministry, though. You still are a minister.
I am still a full-time pastor at Colonial View Baptist Church. You know, they say you're bivocational. I'm twice on Sunday and on Wednesday now, so it's pretty busy. But I love that, and I want to do more of it. You know, it's of course, retiring is bittersweet. You know, everyone, you reach a point where you're ready. I think it's time to let other people do some things and some new thoughts and new ideas, and I'm looking forward to what's next.
Well, I know there'll be a lot next. You still are a young man, and there's going to be a lot of things yet in front of you. But I want to thank you for all the great things you've done at Tennessee Tech.
And, well, thank
and
you.
As your former advisor, I'd say I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you for all that you've done and for personally for all that you've done for me.
Well, it's been a great ride, and I wish you every success. This is Local Matters. We have been speaking to Mark Burnett, the Vice President for Student Affairs at Tennessee Tech University. Mark, it's been an honor to have you with us.
Thank you. It's been good to be here.